This is the story of the one. As head of maintenance at a concert hall, he knows the show must always go on. That's why he works behind the scenes, ensuring every light is working, the HVAC is humming, and his facility shines. With Grainger's supplies and solutions for every challenge he faces, plus 24/7 customer support, his venue never misses a beat. Call quickgrainger.com or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
What's the easiest choice you can make? Window instead of middle seat? Picking a vendor who sends a great gift basket? Outsourcing business tasks you hate? What about selling with Shopify? Whether you're selling a little or a lot, Shopify helps you do your thing, however you cha-ching. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did-we-just-hit-a-million-orders stage, Shopify's there to help you grow. Whether you're selling scented soap or offering outdoor outfits, Shopify helps you sell. Wherever and whatever you're selling, Shopify's got you covered. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/try. Go to shopify.com/try now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. Shopify.com/try.
Welcome to the Rugby Rant Podcast Show, your premier North American rugby podcast, growing rugby one fan at a time.
And welcome, Rugby Rant fans. This is episode 166 of the Rugby Rant. Holy crap, one step closer to 175. We hit you guys with RPKs, right? We don't really count those in our episode count. Those nice interviews, we kind of give you those, as I like to say, for free. But as we inch closer to that 175 mark, you know, it's a big milestone for me, the Hammer and Tie. And, eventually we'll be at 200, and eventually we'll be at 250. And
Yahoo!
It's crazy because Joe Rogan's up to like episode 1,200 or something, you know?
That dude's a machine.
Yeah, but, you know, he also is a professional and has a studio and doesn't have to work. And,
fair point.
But anyway, guys, so, you know, we have a really good show. We're going to go over our good, bad, and ugly of the past 2 weeks of the MLR season. But before we get into that, we're going to hit you with Around the Pitch. All right, Rob, what's your first Around the Pitch topic?
Yeah, this one is near and dear to our heart. James Dealey, some of you guys might know him on Twitter. He is going to be joining the show as a semi-regular. We're really excited about this. Again, Ty is taking a bit of a hiatus to take care of some things on the home front. And so we asked James to join us because we know a lot of you guys out there really enjoy the stuff that he puts out, and it's really data-driven. If you haven't seen it, check out at James Delay. So J-A-M-D-E-L-A-Y. He also tags at USMLR, but he's creating content on the MLR. Great stats, as I said, on individual players, but also he created some really great team cards that for those of you guys who are of your favorite teams, or if you're just watching all the games, you can get those team cards, print them out. It kind of gives you the number of internationals, the amount of changeover from last year in terms of rosters, who's, you know, where players are from, their ownership, GMs, coaches, et cetera. So it's really cool stuff. But he's going to be joining us, and he's going to take an opportunity when he does to talk a little bit about the Sportable data from the Ball Tracker on the national broadcast games. We're real excited to have James join this show as kind of interim partner while Ty takes care of business. So welcome him back. He should be joining the show next week. So check back with us on episode 167. And I think we're going to be maybe calling it, hey, what's the dealy, yo?
He also goes with the hashtag MLR stats for people who are looking. But my first around the pitch topic here, we're actually going to talk a little bit about club rugby. Shout out to USA Club Rugby. They're holding a regional 10s tournament in Las Vegas at Heritage Park in Henderson, Nevada. That's going to be May 3rd, May 4th. So go check it out. They're hosting 8 women's and 10 men's teams from all around the country. If you're a club team that's looking to get into 10s, this is a great tournament to do so. You can check them out on Facebook, USA Club Rugby. Hopefully we're going to have a representative on the show at some point to talk about the 10s landscape that's currently going on in the United States. I mean, I know back in 2020, we watched the Bermuda 10s and a lot of the MLR guys were there and they had some great rule changes and law switches and it was fun. And, you know, it really was a fun time. And I hope that we can continue with those laws that the Bermuda 10s had. It was very exciting and made the game exciting. But again, check out USA Club Rugby. They still have room for 8 women's teams and 10 men's teams in Nevada. First come, first serve. Small fee, $450 per team. And get yourselves out there and play a little club rugby on the 10 side route.
Yeah, it sounds like a lot of fun. 10s is a really enjoyable game to watch. And going back to the Bermuda 10s, that was a lot of fun during that.
Oh, yeah.
Depressing.
We had Mikey Tao.
Rugby-less time.
Yeah, we had Mikey Tao interviewing from the hotel lobby because that was the only place that had internet. We saw the switches of Patty Ryan coming off and Ben Seaman coming on to take kicks. We saw those phased extra point kicks where they could hit a 5-pointer from halfway. It was a ton of fun, Rob. I got to be honest, watching that for free on YouTube, by the way, it was.
Right. Yeah, very much a ton of fun. All right, my second around the pitch topic is Anthem Rugby Charlotte. Just an announcement as of the recording today. It may be old hat by the time we get released here at the end of the week, but want to make everybody aware, they announced that the team's home match against NOLA Gold, originally scheduled for Friday, April 26th, will now be played on Saturday, April 27th at 7:30 p.m. This match will be held at Trust Point in High Point, North Carolina. So a change of venue. Not quite sure why, but we'll get more deets on that later on. Additionally, the remaining Sunday matches on March 17th coming up here next weekend, and June 16th will kick off at 3 p.m. So some changes for those of you guys in Charlotte or for people that are traveling to Charlotte. Check that out. Make sure you got stuff on, your information on time, because you don't want to miss any more rugby.
Yep. I mean, when Rooney had their Sunday matches, they were generally around 3 p.m. and that was, really good. Got you out of traffic, got the youth teams, out of their games in the morning, or if a club team had a game in the morning, and still got you home by, 6 or 7 after the match. So, it was always a good time to have a 2 or 3 p.m. kickoff. It's nice. So my second around the pitch is actually pretty funny. After the Old Glory New England Free Jacks match, Old Glory winning by 1 point there, 35-34. As it's custom in some matches, there's a jersey swap that sometimes happens depending on what's going on and friends playing each other or family playing each other or to celebrate the moment. And in honor of Dude Wipes, we actually had a short swap with Kyle Bald Eagle Sequeira and Jack Issacaro, both props, both guys who are stalwarts in the MLR on their respective teams. And Rob's going to show the video real quick here.
Got a friend in me. You got a friend in me. When the road looks rough ahead and you're miles and miles from your nice warm bed, you just remember.
And, it's just a fun little thing that obviously part of the moment. Even in defeat, it's nice to see Kyle Sequeira smiling and having a little fun after a tough match, which I think, matches up with the values of rugby. And, once the whistle blows, everything's back together to, have a little fun and be a little cheeky. So shout out to Kyle Sequeira and Jack Issacaro for what I feel is the first known short kit swap known to man, sponsored by Dude Wipes.
And by the way, those two dudes have some really unique hair. You got the eagle with that Wisconsin-esque mullet. I would expect to find that in like Rhinelander or someplace in the middle of Wisco. And of course, Jack Issacaro with that flaming red do makes a statement wherever he goes, and you know, throwing the Dude Wipe shorts together. And I hate to say this, Scott, but am I the only person that is glad that New England lost? Not because I don't like the guys on the New England team, just because, you know, put the screws to Jack's Rangers just a little bit.
Honestly, you know, anybody but New England is my go-to. Like I said, anybody who signed from Rooney to New England, Caleb Geiger would be dead to me. You know, so it's, listen, it was a great match.
It was a great match.
You know, it showed something that I'm going to talk about in the next topic a little bit, but it showed that, you know, there's resiliency on these teams. I think the teams are on more of an even playing field this year. There's parity in their rosters, and people are going to get it done, and people are not, you know, not that I don't even think New England had that, you know, sloppy of a game, but we'll get into that. But, you know, OGs came out fired up after what I would say was a lackluster performance in NOLA, and then came out with a really great second half, fired up, you know, away. So, you know, it's nice. It not to be personal about it. Yeah. Do I like seeing the Free Jacks lose? But it was also a great match to watch. No, but it's this is how we're going to grow the game with great matches and being on the edge of your seat about it, you know?
So, yeah. So the, I think, should we put out the survey or the petition to have the Free Jacks colors changed, or are we going to wait for the Jacks Rangers to do that? Or maybe Jason Robertson should put it out, because he freaking hit a laser to win it right there at the end after the try. Good on him. Welcome back to the MLR.
Listen, can we crowdsource a Steadicam for the OG social media manager? Because they were behind the friggin' sticks on the kick, and the friggin' camera was going like this. And, you know, shout out to my boy Stanton Hunter, who used to do the social media for Rugby New York, but that dude had the Steadicam and everything was perfect. And, you know, let's get some, you know, some more professional social media for a game winning kick. And then
we'll have to mention it to our good friend Liz Hallcraft. I think she has an in now with Old Glory.
Gotcha. Well, shout out to Liz. But before we get to our topic, which again, we're going to have the good, the bad, and the ugly from the opening 2 weeks of MLR, we're going to have a word from our lovely sponsors.
When we pick up the ball, we also pick up a legacy. A legacy that stretches beyond your current team. A legacy built on the backs of those who came before you in hard work. And for those who will come after you, we promise it won't be easy. But we'll be there, supporting you on and off the field.
And welcome back, Rugby Rant fans. So like we talked about, we're going to go through our good, bad, and ugly, a culmination of 2 weeks in the MLR. We're going to start off with our goods, and I'm going to throw it over to Rob. Rob, what's your good here in the first 2 weeks?
Man, was week two good in terms of the quality of tries. And the good on TRN, by the way, for actually putting together all of the tries in like a 6.5 minute video segment for you as a fan to soak up. There was some great stuff happening. Sam Gala making a huge break. The big man rumbles in for a try for Dallas, 40 meters for the score for Dallas. That was awesome to see. And of course, Joel Hodgson just showing an array of skills. The chip to Mahi on the wing, who offloads to man of the match, Bailey Wilson, then to Connor McClay. That was awesome to see, in spite of the fact that I'm a Hounds fan. Jason Poitras, in spite of the fact that I'm not a New England fan, with that chip that was recovered by Reese McDonald, who just, I mean, he is Bodie Barrett-esque. I'm not saying he's as fast as Bodie, but just his style of running, as smooth as Bodie, looked good rumbling in for his fourth in two matches. LA's Niles Saunders with a great individual chip and chase at the 31-minute mark. That was a beauty. And kudos to the number nines. Nola, we, of course, had Damian Stevens, Anthem's Seosi Nahi, and Andreas Werner from Houston with great individual tries from the nine position off the back of a scrum. I love a number nine pick up and go. And we had him on board this week. Some exciting stuff. Go back and check out TRN for those highlights.
Definitely. I think week two was really exciting. Caleb McKinney, I think he's going to do some stuff in Utah. 2 weeks in a row, I felt like he his counter to, you know, receiving some kicks and kind of just running it straight up the gut surprised the teams they were playing in Houston and the Hounds. And in the Hounds match, it had to keep the Hounds defense honest, and which set up a bunch of things on the outside after those breakdowns of bringing it up. But yeah, I think we had great tries, bunch of tries maybe called back that were still great. But it was overall it was good. I'm laying stuff out for Rob for pre-production meeting. But I think overall you're right. I think it was exciting. I think the points scored were good. We had a game winning kick. We had, you know, scores that were relatively close, and that's what my good is. So the first 2 weeks, I feel there's relative really parity in what's going on. You know, if you look at the conference tables here, you know, just through 2 weeks, especially the Western Conference, you know, is separated 1 through 5 by 2 points. You know, you have teams getting bonus points. Even the Eastern Conference, you're looking at, you know, NOLA's kind of dominating. But the two new teams in the East in Miami and Anthem are, you know, still trying to get their sea legs. So yeah, you can see how LA and Anthem and Miami probably beginning of the season are going to have some issues trying to get together, especially since a lot of them didn't have those preseason matches. But I think overall, by just looking at the rugby being played, by looking at the scores, you know, you had obviously a 1 point differential in that Old Glory Free Jacks match, you know, 14 points with the Utah and the Hounds, but really that was a late, you know, that was really 7 points with a late try. NOLA kind of slowed down in the second half, and Anthem came roaring back and scoring 19 points. I believe they might have even been unanswered points. You know, same thing with Miami and Seattle. That game was closer than it appeared. Dallas, you know, was in the driver's seat with their match against San Diego, and unfortunately, you know, just couldn't hold on with a 7 point differential. And then you had a 15 point differential with Houston. And again, that Houston LA game had three tries called back. So, you know, that scoreline looks a little bit different if all those tries are held there. But that's what makes it exciting, and that's what I think my good is for this 2 weeks, Rob. I mean, I just think we've had exciting matches. I haven't really seen a boring match, in my opinion. You know, that OG match, I got to be honest, I think the forwards, starters, and reserves, including the two nines, McVay and my boy Connor Buckley, yep. Those are the men of the match, especially those forwards, because they dominated the scrum against New England. They dominated the lineouts against New England. They won the set piece, and even when they brought their reserve guys in, they continued to win the set piece. Scott Green, at one point when the new forwards came up, the front row came up, you know, he gave them a little talking to, as he should, as he does. You know, it's a new front row. This is what I'm doing. This is what I'm looking for. And I don't think there was a scrum penalty on OG the entire time. And again, shout out to Scott Green real quick. Very vocal in the match, and some people were mad about that, but you know what? He was telling the players exactly what they were doing wrong. Yeah. And especially on some of those hits where he said the hits were high, but they weren't necessarily damaging hits high. They were kind of hit and a slide up. And he gave them in my opinion, he gave New England the proper amount of leeway to say it wasn't dangerous, but it can be dangerous if you continue to do it. So you need to stop. And being vocal about that, I think, is what we want, you know?
100%. I think that's what coaches and players want for sure on the field. They just want to be communicated to so that they know how to proceed and how to adjust their game and adapt it to the officiating, because every official is going to interpret things just a little bit differently. It's not going to be identical. But yeah, some great stuff pointed out there, you know, from the weekend, great rugby. And like I say, if we see competitive rugby like this throughout the season, I think we're going to have one heck of a season on our hands. It's going to be super enjoyable to watch.
And the Super Brew has been going, you know, really good because you're having every favorite team win, and, you know, and there've been, you know, decent score lines. You know, I did hammer, I think I got the perfect score line for, who did I get the perfect score line for? It might have been the NOLA match. Got that bonus point for the score there. Which was nice to see. But, you know, I did have New England winning that match, I believe, by 10. Originally because, you know, in Fort Quincy, they're hanging the banner. There's going to be some juice. But again, I think the OG forward just came out a little more prepared, a little more ready to execute, you know?
Yeah, and by the way, speaking of Super Brew, shout out to Mike D., Week 2 winner. I think he was tied on points, but the Super Brew gave him the edge because he performed a little better last week. So he's got a $25 gotcha. Gift card coming his way from our supporters and sponsors, Rugby Now, who power shop MLR, and gear is coming in as we speak. Some great gear. So get yours while you can, and don't forget to size up. You don't want to be sending that back and waiting even longer to wear your new merch.
My name's Mike D, and I'm about to get money. Shout out to the Beastie Boys. So now we're gonna head over to what we think, what we consider bad in the first 2 weeks. MLR, Rob, let's start off with your bad.
Oh, I hate to do this, but I gotta be honest. Coverage and the NOLA Anthem match was a little left to be desired, a far cry from the previous week. By all accounts, my wife watched the from home. She really thought week one, the production and a lot of folks on Reddit said the production week one was really spot on, did a much better job down there in New Orleans. The Cox crew did a great job this week. I don't know. It was voodoo day. In the gold mine, and maybe the voodoo did a little bit what hoodoo on the production crew, because they missed that opening try by Ross Depperschmidt, my favorite Schmidt in the MLR, just so you know. And maybe it's just because of that tight window over there, trying to get that thing down into the right is a little difficult. So that was missed that one. Some of the fans were saying that they were hearing the commentators, the broadcast crew, and the officials over the loudspeaker. So that's something to work on. I know that, and this perhaps was on the TRN side. I was trying to watch that. I had two TVs. I've never done this before. Two TVs. I had the NOLA match, the Hounds match coming up, and my NOLA match was really choppy in the second half. So it was really hard to follow. So, you know, a tough one there. And on the production end, maybe they should keep the officials like regular commentary out and only allow the TMO officials commentary in when they're having a conversation during a stoppage in play and they're discussing, you know, a high tackle or for, you know, or a grounding or something of significance in the match. It was kind of annoying to hear that TMO in the background quite frequently during some of the matches. So a few things to work on. I suppose that the players are rusty. We're going to see some of the production be rusty. Hopefully we get that worked out in short order and we can continue to enjoy the quality that we're used to.
Yeah. You know, I'm going to go into my bad and I'm going to just jump right into it real quick. I'm also going with the production. I change up a little bit. You know, I had one topic I was going to go with bad, and honestly, I kind of just want to piggyback on what Rob said, because I do think while TRN has been doing a really decent job. It's funny because my coverage of the Hounds Utah game was super choppy. And it wasn't until halftime where I logged out, logged back in, and then it was fine. So I don't know if it's the feeds of individual games going into your system or these games themselves that are having the issues, because it seems everybody seems to have issues at different levels, at different matches. But throwing things up like when they showed week one, they showed on the FS2 game, the conferences, and they had LA, I believe, in the East and Chicago in the West. Doesn't really make sense. social media usually has been great, but they have a they had a social media after week one that said undefeated after week one. There's only been one match, so half the teams that played are going to be undefeated, and half are going to be winless. Like, you know, it's just that kind of stuff, you know, to me just doesn't make sense. That kind of stuff kind of kills me. I think you're right. I did. I forgot what match it was, but you mentioned it. You could hear the TMO constantly talk to the official, which is fine. I'm sure that's what they want. But unless the official, you know, unless they're going into something they're going to review, it's happening while the commentators are also talking. So now it's almost like somebody's talking over them on a completely different thing. You don't know what to pay attention to. And it does, you know, reduce, in my opinion, the production value. As far as what you were talking about missing that Debra Schmidt when I had my season tickets for New York, we were next to a camera position, and you know, we used to speak to the camera guy quite frequently and ask a bunch of questions. He was saying sometimes these cameras, while they can traverse right and left and up and down, they can't traverse down and left, you know, so it might just be one of those things where that's the type of equipment that's there and you don't know it until you get into the play and it's all the way in that bottom corner and you try and move the camera and it just doesn't move that particular way. But again, that's something you should work on as the production team, to say, maybe put in the proper equipment, maybe raise that position, maybe, you know, figure out a way to follow the play into that corner, you know, because it does look amateurish when you get there. But that is also my bad, Rob, is the production side. I think going into, you know, fucking year six, like, we need to progress in production. We need to not, you know, regress in production, especially when they're putting up that Eastern Conference, Western Conference thing. I almost threw a goddamn beer can at the screen. I swear to God, I was so like, how fucking stupid can you be? You know, like the day before they had announced the graphic of how the playoffs are going to work. And in that graphic had the conferences correct. So just put up the correct one that you posted on social media the day before instead of the wrong one. It's just crazy to me.
Yeah. And you know, I get it. We have fans, especially when we're fans of particular teams, where we pay attention to details like that, you know? And so maybe it's just the crews don't, you know, have that kind of investment, and therefore they miss the little details or the little things. Going back to my, you know, it's interesting that you brought up it may be a TRN factor on that kind of jumpy feed, because you had it in the Hounds game and a Utah game, and I didn't have it at all as I watched that match. It perhaps on my side, I didn't think about this, but it very well could have been because I was logged into the same account at the same time, one for my Roku, one from my PC online.
That had to have been it. That had to, because
so that could have been it.
When I went to check on my phone to see if it was the feed, it wouldn't even let me be on. Oh, you know, 'cause you're only allowed one device. You're only allowed one device per sign in login.
Yeah,
which is something that people brought up in the MLR fan zone, and I let them know if you log out and log back in, it'll reset all of them, so then you should be able to see it, and right. It worked. You know, for a bunch of people, but yeah, it's probably because of that you were logged into places and didn't know where to go. So fans,
so I'm stay a bad logged man. In one That's place. What you're telling me that's the bad.
Or use your wife's email. Use your wife's email, dude.
I know. Yeah, it's free.
All right, so now we're gonna go to the ugly. Rob, what was your ugly at the beginning of the season here?
Well, this week, unlike last week, I didn't have a super ugly. Please don't misunderstand me, folks who are listening. I'm not complaining about the officiating at all. As a matter of fact, I think the officiating has been very good this season and, you know, through 2 weeks. But it's just ugly to see three tries called back in one game, the LA Sabercats match. You know, up through 60 minutes, it was a very back and forth affair. One team scoring, another team coming back, drawing it. Then another team goes ahead and kind of goes back and forth. But we had, you know, three tries, two by LA, one by Houston called back. Again, not blaming it on the officials. It's just, you know, you always hate to see when there's a great flow of the game and there's exciting plays that those things are called back. But it is, that's the game. That's the nature of it. You want to make sure that any foul play is taken out of the game. So I get it. It's just that, it, you know, as I'm watching, I was just like, another one? Ah, man, that sucks. So that was my bad.
You mean you're ugly? That was your ugly?
Yeah, sorry, my ugly.
I mean, I got to be honest, two of those tries, from what I saw, obviously should have been called back. That doesn't mean the third one shouldn't have, but I'm just saying, you know, in looking at it, I think that the third one could have gone either way. So it sucks, but that's the name of the game, and we want to get the calls right. So it does, and I don't think it's that bad of an ugly. Like, I think you're right. I think your caveat to it was perfectly sound. You know, I hope we can continue this level of officiating. I think it has been good. I think if you look at the individual referees who are in the middle past 2 weeks, I don't think there's been any egregious calls missed. You know, the TMO, as we know, is going to be less proactive. They're going to be more reactive to when they're asked to review something as far as making a call. I think in past seasons, they've been a little more proactive, and we're trying to kind of shift that according to the lead official, the MLR. So I think going forward, we're in a good place with that.
Yeah.
You know,
remember, folks, clear and obvious. That's when the TMO is going to insert itself, is clear and obvious in infringements or whatnot. So look for that. Otherwise, again, the officials can call from the middle if they want the TMO to have some input and want to get, you know, some clarification.
So my ugly, this is I'm going to say this. I think I'm happy that this is available, but I do think it's going to kill the momentum of fantasy rugby, is the way Ovalle does their fantasy rugby. I do think this is the ugly. So when you first start up, you get 5 free cards. They're considered NFTs. So now we were going to have kids trading in cryptocurrency to buy extra cards. You know, fantasy football, fantasy baseball, fantasy hockey, fantasy basketball. Don't get me wrong. I play all of those. I'm in leagues for all of those. I'm in some big money leagues for football. Don't get me wrong, where the payout goes to the guy and we're paying, you know, $50 to have a league, which for, you know, 10, 12 grown adults, not that big a deal. But you have to pay per card, per guy. And each card's a different thing because this NFT is more popular than that NFT. And again, do we want our kids essentially trading in cryptocurrency that's really isn't going to accrue any value besides you winning the league in your fantasy rugby league? What we need to precipitate this is eventually when we have a CBA, and part of that CBA is an actual injury listing with rules that you can't manipulate the injury list, that will make us more viable on two ways. It will make us more viable on the fantasy rugby way, and it will make us more viable on placing bets and making rugby a bettable, a legitimate bet, MLR, a legitimate bettable place to put bets on because you have accurate information, right? That's one of the biggest things when you're looking at fantasy football is your injury list, right? And you're going to put guys on IR because they're out for the 8-week IR, the full IR if you're in a keeper league and things like that. But to say, I want to go get the butcher and he's $2, and I want to go get Luke White and he's $3, and I want to go get, you know, so-and-so. And it's just not the way that that fantasy football works for any of the other leagues, you know, and CBS and Yahoo and ESPN and, you know, all the big teams, all the big companies have it for free, you know, for leagues for free, and they have leagues for pay, but you're paying for the league, not for the player, you know? So in this one, you have to get into the league and then pay for the player to get a better player or to get a new player, you know? So let's say you pick the butcher, right? And he's part of your first 5 free, but then he gets injured for the rest of the season. Now you have to pay to pick up Vaca on the OGs, like, you know, with actual money, and it's an NFT, and it doesn't make sense to me. And I know that the MLR thought it's going to be a good partnership, and this happened, you know, 2 or 3 years ago with this partnership, and NFT were big, and this, well, they've all come crash down to earth so far. And they're worth, you know, not a lot of money, NFTs. So let's get out of that. Let's figure out, you know, let's be collaborative, have some more fan input, because I gotta be honest, there's a lot of fans who probably play fantasy sports and would say, you need to do this route like Yahoo, or you need to do this like ESPN, or you need to do this like CBS Sports to get a better scene. You know, it sounds small. Again, that would be the caveat. This is, you know, something that's, I'm sure a lot of rugby fans in the MLR aren't on. But my point is, if you want to bring kids into the game, and we try through the youth game, but I got to be honest, a lot of these kids are playing fantasy sports. Let's get them into fantasy sports. It's fun, you know?
Yeah. I'm not a big fan of the crypto to begin with.
Yeah.
But then asking, you know, young kids to be able to dabble in crypto with what? Their parents' money?
I mean, and this is the thing. Like, you know, they're playing video games. And yeah. And the biggest thing about these EA video games is these, what they call microtransactions, because
right.
your kids are taking their credit card and they're, you know, adding to their overall statistics, or they're adding to get, you know, if they're doing their Madden Ultimate Team or their FIFA Ultimate Team, they're paying to try and get, you know, Ronaldo and Messi and all this stuff. And you're paying $10 on it. And almost every gamer hates it. And
yeah.
you know, well, a lot of gamers have stopped doing that, and they've seen an overall decrease in it, because one, it's not good for children. And two, it's, why am I going to pay extra when, you know, I've already bought a $70 game. And again, it's almost taking the bad part of an EA video game and putting it on the fantasy side, which is supposed to be fun and free.
And parents of young gamers hate it. And let me just tell you, one of my children did that with one of the games when he was like 10 or 11. You know, we had the account.
Not Preston.
The credit card. Yes, Preston.
Oh, really?
Okay. Yeah. He had, I don't forgot what game it was, man. We had our credit card account tied to, you know, the Microsoft, right? And all of a sudden we got a bill for like $450, and we're like, what the hell? And you know, the sheepish young man that he was at 12 was like, oh, I'm really sorry, I didn't. So we had to deal with that. But that's the big problem. What kind of message are we sending the kids, and what are we making them dabble in if we're trying to really promote the sport?
And again, don't get me wrong, you know, like I said, I'm in big money leagues. I'm also a 36-year-old adult.
Right.
You know, that has fun with these. And I've been in one fantasy football league 18 years. 18 wow. years with just about the same guys. We had one guy who's no longer in the league because he passed away. Like, and it's fun. And
that's no good reason.
Well, yeah, I mean, you know, he should still be dying, right? But we actually had another friend of ours pick up his team the past 3 years, so it's cool to do that and get another guy in. And but again, I'm in a league, I'm in a fantasy league that I don't spend money on. It's free.
Right.
Right. And there are 14, I play with 13 other people, and we're all over the United States and across the globe. We have guys in Egypt. We have guys in Malaysia. We have, you know, people all across the United States. We have two guys in the UK. And that's just a free league that I answered a thing in on one of the message boards. Hey, we're looking to do a keeper league. Everybody's, you know, is available. We have our draft, our rookie draft. You have 24 hours to pick because time zones, you know, but it's free and it's fun. And I got 13 new people that I would have never met and talked to, and all because it was free and it was something to do, to just throw in there and spend a little bit of time because I didn't have to spend the money to go do it and expand who I'm meeting and my horizons playing fantasy football. And that's what it should be about. Expanding the game that way.
Right. Right.
And that, unfortunately, that's not what this model does. And
no,
you know,
not a fan. Not a fan.
And again, it's not a knock on O'Valley itself. I'm sure they're a great company and stuff like that. It's just the model I think they're using isn't robust enough to create that groundswell of people and youth and a movement to come together to have a real MLR fantasy league.
Yep.
The Rugby Rants Lock of the Week.
Week 3 brings us an interesting slate of games. The Anthem opens up the weekend against Dallas in Charlotte. Should be an interesting one. New England, home opener against the NOLA Gold. Old Glory plays host to the Chicago Hounds. The Houston Sabercats play host in Sabercat Stadium to the Miami Sharks. Utah plays host to a 2-0 Seattle Seawolves. And in the final game of the week on St. Patrick's Day, San Diego home opener against LA. What's my lock of the week? Well, I got to go with San Diego. Danny Lee always has his teams prepared. And in spite of going down
one of those last two games and being 1-1. LA's 0-2, and I just think San Diego's going to have right of the ship this week, and they're going to be raring to go. So lock that in. Scott, what do you got? I heard you're getting hot.
Let's get hot, Hammer. Hey, everybody. I'm going to give you my lock of the week for Super Brew, presented by our buddies over at Rugby Now. And I'm taking the Dallas Jackals over Anthem RFC. Don't think Anthem has enough firepower to compete with the Jackals. The Jackals look really good the past 2 weeks. I do think the youth on the Anthem will eventually get there, but I think the cohesion with the Jackal squad that they have is what's going to make the difference. Jackals by at least 10.
So, Rob, you want to wrap up real quick, just some comments? You have any other comments about the league the last 2 weeks?
No, I've really enjoyed it. Looking forward to it. Of course, going to get to see, you know, all the Hounds matches, and then going down to New Orleans. I think we're trying to get a contingent of Hounds fans to get down there. It should be an excellent time. Hopefully I get out to a DC game when they play the Anthem. We'll see if the wifey is supportive or not. Hopefully she's not listening. She'll be mad that I mentioned it, but nevertheless. Looking forward to it. And I'm really looking forward to, we have Easter here coming up in a couple of weeks, and it's going to be the opening weekend of the Chicago Hounds. And my mom and my stepdad are coming up, and my kids are coming in. So I think we're going to get the family to go on Saturday to enjoy the game and then have a nice family Easter on Sunday. So hopefully you guys get to do the same at home. It should be a lot of fun. And one other thing I want to mention, a lot of good interviews coming out. We've got Stan Vandenhoven coming out here very shortly. I have a great interview with Scott Lawrence. He's going to talk about the developmental pathways, U18s, U20s, what the Anthem are up to, give us some nuance on that. So that should be pretty exciting. And then the Hounds and USA Eagle scrum half Nick McCarthy is joining the show. So we're going to have him coming out here very shortly as well. So stay tuned. We got some excellent interviews coming up. Really excited for you guys to share that opportunity with me.
Absolutely. We're going into week three, and I know there was some injury news. Old Glory prop Kevin Bow injured in the preseason, unavailable for election the entire season. I know Facundo Gaddis, this is according to Glorious Rugby, was seen on a scooter with an injured leg. It looks like it was a preseason injury, but it good for Facundo. It doesn't seem to be a full season like injury. Also, winger Perry Humphreys had gotten injured in week one. He should be back in the next couple weeks. And you also had some injury news on the Miami Sharks. I heard that Alex Tucci tore his bicep a week before the week one. And you also have Isaac Bales out with a second ACL injury. I know Isaac, I believe, is signed this year through next year. So, he'll still be with Miami next year. But that ACL, unfortunately, will, shut down his season. You're going to be sidelined. He won't be coming back for 2024. So good luck to everybody in their recovery. Listen, this game is a war of attrition. It's unfortunate. People are picking up those injuries, but that's the game. So I just want to give you guys some injury news. Shout out to our boy Dealey, who's going to be on next week. Hashtag MLR stats. I'm Scott, the big guy Ferrara. That's Rob the Hammer Hammerschmidt. And another week, another MLR set of matches. Let's get hot, baby. See you at the next.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Prescription products require completion of an online medication consultation with an independent healthcare provider through the LifeMD platform and are only available if prescribed. Subscription required. Individual results may vary. Additional restrictions apply. Read all warnings before using GLP-1s. Side effects may include a risk of thyroid C-cell tumors. Do not use GLP-1s if you or your family have a history of thyroid cancer.
If you've struggled for years to lose weight and have given up hope, did you know you can now access GLP-1 prescription medications at TryLifeMD.com? We're now offering eligible patients online access to GLP-1s, the breakthrough prescription medication that can help you lose body fat and weight. Listen to what people are saying.
It's fun to put on jeans that you couldn't get into 6 months ago.
Every morning, I look forward to getting on the scale.
For anybody who's struggling with their weight, it's a godsend.
And here's the best part. Your insurance may cover 100% of the cost of your medication. So go to TryLifeMD.com to have your eligibility checked right now. Get started today at TryLifeMD.com. That's TryLifeMD.com.